The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Kuf Ayin Zayin Hilchais Bechar Behema Tahira. This simon deals with the laws of a firstborn kosher animal. Now the Rambam explains that there are three ways, three mitzvahs, that the firstborn is sanctified. One is Bechor Adam, the firstborn of a person. We know there's a mitzvah of Pinyan HaBen, that the money is given to the Kayin, the five Sloim are given to the Kayin, and that's commonly done for a firstborn son, if the father and mother are both Yisraelim. And that's a separate simon, a separate discussion in the Kitzer. We also find the mitzvah of Pidyon Peter Chamar, which is that if the firstborn donkey has a certain holiness, a certain kedusha towards it, you cannot work it or do anything with it. But there's a way of getting out of the kedusha by if one has a mitzvah to give a sheep to a kayin, and by doing that, then it becomes redeemed, and the kayin becomes the kayin gets the sheep, and by doing that, the chamor becomes mutter to use. So again, the donkey would be mutter to use once it's redeemed. Now, the halacha, when it pertains to a firstborn animal, is that that animal has kedusha, it has holiness, and it actually has the status of a karbon, and it needs to be brought as an offering in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's eaten as kachikalim, which is not an oil, not completely burnt, but it's brought as a karbon, and it's allowed to be eaten as a karbon. Now, if that animal gets a mum in it, if the animal gets a blemish, so it cannot be used as a karbon anymore, so then the halacha is that it's given to the kayin as a present, and even though it has holiness, but when the kayin shechs it, when the kayin slaughters it, so then its meat is allowed to be eaten. Now this halacha, this rule of a bechor behemah tahira, that the firstborn animal has this holiness, applies even today, even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And this is something that created an issue for Jewish farmers, which is they would have a cow or a goat, and they would have a firstborn animal, and that first animal was a bechor. It was a firstborn, so that had kedusha, and you're not able to do anything with it because it has the status of a karbon. So you would have to wait until it gets a blemish, until it gets a mum. And then once it gets the mum, then you still wouldn't be allowed to get regular benefit from it, but one could slaughter it and eat the meat. So this is the halacha of a bechor. Now, a common practice would be to have a non-Jewish partner in the mother, and by doing that, we'll be able to circumvent the kedusha. And the reason for that is, even though generally speaking, we don't try to get out of mitzvahs, but over here, because keeping it around, one might be nichsha, one might mistakenly do work with it or not treat it properly, so therefore, it was encouraged to do that. So this is basically an overview of what the siman's going to talk about. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch gives a beautiful insight into the mitzvah of the kedusha, of the holiness of the firstborn, and he says that usually the first of one's work, they attribute to their own toil. And therefore, the idea that the firstborn goes as a carbon, it reminds us that everything we do comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now let's begin with Sif Aleph. Yisroel, a Jewish person, Shiyol Delay, Behema Tahira, Shaloi Bechar, that their kosher animal gave birth to a firstborn. And again, it's only a kosher animal. A non-kosher animal does not have any kedusha, not only holiness, except for a donkey, and that has its own set of laws, which we're going to discuss in the following siman. So, when one has born this firstborn kosher animal, mitzvah l'akdishai, there's a mitzvah, there's a commandment to make it holy, and to say, v'lomer, and to say, raise a kodesh, this is holy. Shenemar, as the verse says, takdish l'ashem l'kecha, one has a mitzvah to sanctify the firstborn animal. V'imloi hikdishai. Now, even if one doesn't say that, one has a mitzvah to say that, but even if one doesn't do so, it still has holiness. Miskadosh me'elav ve'rechem, from the time of birth, it's already holy. V'nois to ma'isel ha'kayin, and one's supposed to give it to a kayin, bein shehu tam, bein shehu nafal b'mum, whether it has a blemish or does not have a blemish. V'afil nal b'mumay, even if it was born with a blemish. And the idea is that the kayin, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, would take that animal, and if it did not have a blemish, he would bring it as an offering, as a carbon, and he'd be able to eat the meat. And if it did have a blemish, then he would be able to slaughter it without bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash and eat the meat as well. So it was something that was given to the Kohanim. Avalayit nenu l'kayin ba'ayde katan, but the halacha is that one should not give it to the Kohanim just when it's born, when it's very small, it's not honorable to give it to the kohen when it's just born. But the way it should be is that the owners take care of it some. With a small animal, meaning to say a goat or a sheep, 30 days. A bagasa, and a larger animal, say a calf, 50 days. And if one does not have a kohen available, chayv l'tapel bay, the person himself is obligated to deal with it, to take care of it, ad she's damin l'kohen, until a kohen comes his way. So this is again the halacha, that the firstborn animal belongs to the kohen, and one gives it to the kohen, and they would bring it in the times of the Beis HaMikdash as a karbon, and today, that's obviously going to be an issue, but once it has a mum in it, once it has a blemish, and we'll discuss soon what a blemish means, then one will be allowed to, the kohen at least will be allowed to eat it, not as a carbon, and that would apply even today. Sif base. Amar la kohen teichazman. What if the kohen said within the 30-day or 50-day period, t'nei oliv ani atachem bay, you give it to me already, and I'll take care of it. Im ein bay mum. If it does not have a mum, so it's fit to be a carbon. And a shalit nalai. One is not allowed to give it to him. Because this is as if the kohen is taking over the Yisrael's responsibility. That he's doing it instead of him. In order that he should get it. And this is prohibited because it's like taking from others. Now, the point is the following. The point is that if the kohen is doing it in order that he should be able to get it, so what's really going on over here is that the kohen is sort of buying the rights to get this animal by offering to take care of it and take it off the hands of the Yisrael. And that's not permitted because basically he's circumventing the other kohenim. Other kohenim have equal right. He's going and circumventing it. He's like stealing from the other kohenim by offering something that he's not allowed to offer. Avo, however, in nofo boy mum teichazman, but if it already had a mum, so therefore it could already be slaughtered. Vamala akayin tenei shiach lano, give it to me so I could eat it. Motor is permitted. Shari yachol l'shachta miad, because if there is a blemish, then really one will be allowed to slaughter it right away. Kitzur continues in Sif Gimel. If the kohen is offered this bechor, this firstborn, and doesn't want to accept it, they keep his man hazeh yesh b'tarach gadol, because today's day and age, it's very difficult legadle at sheipo b'mum, because he has to take care of it until it gets a blemish. Ein rasha, he's not allowed to do that. If they shenir kemevazim matnas kahuna, because he's showing a disrespect to the presence of the kahuna. And those are matanos, presents that Hashem gave to the kohenim. Therefore, it's disrespectful if he shows that he doesn't want to accept it. Mikol makom, however, ha'yisrael also the lita l'kohen kedei laknita or linkem imenu. If the yisrael is doing it in order to inconvenience and to bother and upset the kohen, then he's not allowed to do that. V'maisekein, and in that situation, ein kohen tzarich l'kabloi, that the kohen does not have to accept it. And the same would be true if the Yisrael made a mistake, that he was able to sell to a non-Jew before, and as we mentioned, that would be a way of circumventing it becoming a Bechar, because if he would sell the mother to a non-Jew before the offspring was born, that would circumvent the problem of it becoming a Bechar, and he didn't do that, and now it's born, so he's stuck with it. In a kain tzarach lekabel es habachar, the kain does not have to accept it. Helchu ba'atzmo yitapu bo yachi po mimum. But rather, the owner is obligated to take care of it until it becomes blemished. V'azit nel lekain, and then he has an obligation at that point to give it to the kain. So the idea over here is that on the one hand, the kain has to show respect. On the other hand, the kain is not responsible to take care of the Yisrael's problem, so therefore the Yisrael's not supposed to offer it to him just in order to put it onto the Kayin. And he, also, if the Yisrael was negligent, the Kayin's not obligated to accept it as well. Now, as we mentioned, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it would be brought as a carbon by the Kayin, and today we don't have that option, so we have to wait around until it gets a blemish. And this is what the Ketzer explains in Siv Dalet. HaBachar b'zman hazeh, the firstborn animal in today's times, tzrichim la'shoysa at shipo l'mum, we have to keep it around until it gets a blemish. Kishanafo b'mum, now when it does get a blemish, marun isay l'shloysha b'ali taira, the proper procedure is that one should bring it in front of three people who are knowledgeable in taira, like a bezdin of sorts. And one of them should be knowledgeable specifically to know if this is a permanent blemish or not. Because if the blemish could heal, then it's not considered a blemish. That would make this bechar not have the status of a carbon and would make it permitted to be slaughtered. So one of those people have to be knowledgeable in that. Matir Naisai, and then they are allowed to permit it. And then they can slaughter it, vim hu kosher, and if it's not, there's nothing found to be wrong with it, like a trefa, something wrong with internal organs, if there's no such issues, aichon I say, it could be eaten, nu motagam l'Yisrael, and it's motag even for a regular Jewish person to eat, not only a kain, v'ainu nimka b'makulin, but it should not be sold in the marketplace, v'ainu nishka b'litra, and shouldn't be weighed, v'ainu nisim in l'klofim, it should not be given to the dogs, v'ainu reichin, v'ainu in the l'nachri, and should not be given or sold to a non-Jew. Basically, the idea over here is that there's a holiness to it, even though it's not a carbon, but it deserves a certain respect. And therefore, once it does get a mum, then one could do that. Sif hey, habachar shenala by mum. If a blemish came to an animal that was the firstborn, so it became blemished. If there is in that place people that are knowledgeable to permit it, then we show it to them right away. And once it becomes permitted, we don't want to keep it around. If it was rendered permissible within the first year, you can wait until the end of the first year, so it should grow a little bit. But if it was permitted to it was rendered permitted to eat or to slaughter near around the end of the first year or just afterwards, ain mashin I say yaisim shalishim yaim, one should not wait more than 30 days. Our vehisha is so yaiser and an ifsal bakach, but if one does wait longer, it doesn't become unfit, one could still slaughter it and eat it. The basic idea is the reason for not holding it around is because, as we mentioned, a bechor, a firstborn, has a kedusha, has a holiness, and even if it gets a mum in it, it still has an element of holiness, which means that it can't be worked. And this is part of the problem, that if people didn't set up something with a non-Jew, they would basically have all these animals roaming around that were firstborns that could not be worked at all. And because of that, we want to slaughter it as soon as possible in order to avoid people making the mistake of accidentally using it for work, which is also, which is not permitted. Sivav hakayin tzarech legadel es habachar ad shipo by mum. The kayin needs to raise the firstborn animal once he's given it until it gets a blemish. V'yachal l'machal Yisrael, and he is allowed to sell it to a Yisrael. In other words, because once it does get a mum in it, a Yisrael will be allowed to eat it, so therefore he could sell it to a regular Jew, whether it does or does not personally have a mum, actually Yisrael Yisnagwa B'Kedushas B'Chayra, as long as the Yisrael is willing to be careful with its holiness, he should also not buy it to make business out of, just a small private sale, but not a public, you know, business deal. Siv Zayin. Ein margilim bebechor. One should not do margilim. What's margilim? It means to say that once, when it is slaughtered, and it's being skinned, it should be skinned in a more respectful way. There's a way of removing all the hide in one piece, which was used to make different types of containers, and that should not be done. Why? The nira kibizayin, it looks disrespectful. Sha'ar ala kachim chayshu lasmenu mipuach, because it shows that he wants to make some sort of kli, some sort of vessel out of the skin, because that's how they would do it. You used to take the whole skin and make it into a some sort of balloon or some sort of vessel, and so it's to show that you're doing that with this behemoth, this animal that has this holiness, is a lack of respect. Siv Ches. Shachta v'nimtza treifa. Now what happens if they slaughter it and it's found to be a treifa? There's just a problem wrong with one of the internal organs that they're not allowed to eat it, like say a hole in the lung. So what's the status of this, of the animal? It obviously cannot be eaten. So the kitzur says, Ayru b'sara asurim ba'na. Its skin, its hides, and its meat are not permitted to have any benefits. You can't feed it to a dog or do anything with it. V'ton kvura, and it needs to be buried. V'hu adin imeis me'atma, also if it dies on its own. Ton kvura, it needs kvura, and the reason, again, is because that normally the shechita, the slaughtering, permits the whole animal to be eaten and to use the hides. But once it's not good, not kosher, because it's still a treifa, or it dies on its own, then it remains in its prohibited state, and therefore it has to just be buried. V'naigin shekarchan, I say, besadin, v'kavrinus of besakvaras ba'aymek, and he brings here from the Sefer Tshuva Me'ahava that the custom was to wrap it in a sheet and bury it very deep in the cemetery, and again to put it in a place where it wouldn't come that people would derive benefit from it. Siv Tes Habachar Bein Tam Ben Bal Mum. Now we're going to discuss the respect and the holiness of the animal, that it can't be worked. So whether it's a tam, whether it does not have a blemish, and it is fit to be used as a carbon or not, or does have a blemish, also because of avoda, it's prohibited to shear it and to use it for different types of work. And even if some wool got pulled on its own, so no one did anything wrong, so they just went through a thorn bush or something and pulled some hairs, even that wool is prohibited. But the wool that's on its body, if it's slaughtered with its blemish, then the shechita permits it. And this is what we mentioned before, that until there's a proper shechita done, then it has holiness. Once the shechita is done, then you need to have respect, but it does not have the holiness anymore. Just as it permits the meat and the hides. Sif Yud. Habachar ein lehet el b'mum. That there is no way of permitting it, only if it gets a blemish. Now what if a person says, listen, I don't want it roaming around, it's too expensive, so I'm going to cause it to die indirectly. But also the consul, the keeper, one cannot lock it in a room, that it should just die on its own, because he's causing kachim to lose out, he's causing a carbon to be destroyed, so therefore he's not allowed to do that. So basically the only thing he's allowed to do is just keep it around and wait until it gets a mum. Sif Yud Aleph. Now also lasas mum b'buchar, one is allowed to make the blemish, fafil ligrim le'motor, even to cause indirectly. And this obviously was a big problem. The Gemara talks a lot about this, how people would have this yetzahara to cause a mum, because it was very expensive, very difficult for them to keep this animal around. And because of that, they were very careful that it should be inspected and very clear that the person didn't do it on their own. And even indirectly, kagan litim botzik al gabi oznai, let's say if some of the ear comes off, so that would be considered a mum, so the person wants to put a little piece of dough on the ear, kadei sheitlan akelev misham, so that the dog will bite it off, v'yikta oznai, imai chiyaitzibai, so then the dog will be able to nip off part of the ear, something like that, or sheyem l'nachil asas lemon, or to tell a non-Jew to do it, asr, it's prohibited, but it says it is permitted to give it to a non-Jew to raise as long as he's not going to make a mum in it, to make a blemish. Sifyud Beis. Halakach Behemah Minachri. This talks about a situation where there's a doubt whether or not the animal has the status of a char. No, a person buys an animal from a non-Jew. V'en yedua im yolda kvar aloi. So a person buys a mother animal, and it would make sense. You want to make sure that it gave birth already, in order that you won't have a problem with Bechor. V'yolda ata b'beis Yisrael, and now it gives birth. How is a suffix Bechor? So there's a suffix, there's a doubt. Is this a firstborn or not a firstborn? And what if the non-Jew says, without being asked, just in course of conversation, that it's already gave birth, lemahani, it doesn't even help. There were ways of figuring out there were certain markings in the horns that would indicate that it gave birth once. Vafilu imhi chaleves, even if it's giving milk, lemahani, it doesn't help. Elim came right shemanika egel, unless we see that it actually has a calf. Vimhi chaleves, vegam hanachim resilch vitumai. And if it is giving milk, and the non-Jew says without being asked that it's that it already gave birth once, shalei lashpich es mekhai, and he's not saying it to make it better, if I'm a shekval yolda, and he's saying it already gave birth, mahani b'paris, so then it helps with cows, avalei b'izim, but not with goats. Now the reason seems to be that it was more common with goats that they should give milk even before they actually had a birth, as opposed to with cows is much less common. So therefore, with cows, they're willing to rely on the non-Jew's word together with the fact that it wasn't very common to go against what's known as a chazaka, the assumption that it never gave birth, because giving birth, it would be considered a new event. So therefore, if we have a doubt whether or not it happened, we would have to assume that it didn't happen. Whereas, if you have these two things going for you, we have the fact that it's giving off milk, which with cows is very unlikely that it happened without giving birth, and you have the word of the non-Jew, even though that's not so such a strong form of testimony, that would be enough. Whereas it comes to the goats, seemingly it was more common. So therefore, coupled with the fact that we're coming to disprove something that we already know, meaning to say that we know that when a goat is born, it did not have a offspring yet, so now we have to go against that, and it is possible that a goat could give milk without having an offspring, even though it's uncommon, so for the goats, we could not rely on it. That is the basic explanation for what the Kitzur is quoting over here. Now let's continue. Sif Yud Gimel. Kohanim ulviim chayavim gamken bebechar behemah tayra. So unlike other halachas that we spoke about before, here a kain and a levi are obligated in this idea of the kedusha, the holiness of their firstborn animal. Elosha kain mafrishim akvel atzmai, but the kain does not have to give it to a different kain, but he can hold it for himself. Machzika bekedushas bechar, and he can treat it with the holiness. He would be able to bring it as a carbon, or in today's days, wait until it gets a mum, until it gets a blemish, and then he would be able to eat it. Let's continue with Sif Yudalit. Now, Sif Yudalit is very, very important because it starts discussing the ways of getting out of this Kedusha, which is obviously a big issue for Jewish people that own animals. If there's a partnership between a Jew and a non-Jew in an animal, or if a Jewish person accepts an animal from a non-Jew to raise it, and they'll divide the offspring, then he's exempt from the issue of bechar of firstborn. It has to be the firstborn korach, an entire womb. What does that mean? So Chazal learned from here, it has to be completely owned by a Jew. So therefore, if it belongs in principle to a non-Jew, and just a Jewish person is taking care of it and getting a benefit from it, or if it's a full partnership, both scenarios, it would not have the kedusha, the holiness of a firstborn, and therefore would not have all these halachos. Now, a non-Jew that accepts a Jewish person's animal, so the animal in principle belongs to the Jew, and the non-Jew is getting a benefit in the offspring because of his work. So, lahavi paiskim lemahani, so this is a discussion whether or not in that arrangement do we say that the non-Jew getting a part of the offspring, is that considered a full partnership or not? So therefore, many paiskim hold that it's not enough, and therefore it would still have the kedusha, still have the holiness. But he has to sell the mother to a non-Jew in order to alleviate the problem of kedushas bechar. Sif tezvav. Mitzvah limkar l'nachri asa behemat haris. This is a very interesting point that, unlike in the laws of pinyan petach hamar, in the next siman we're going to see how one should not try to circumvent having a situation where one could perform the mitzvah of redeeming the first donkey. Over here, one's supposed to circumvent it. Why? Either by selling the animal, the mother, to a non-Jew, or at least a partnership, to alleviate the problem of Bukhar. So the Kitzur asks the important question, but what do you mean? You're causing that there should not be this holiness of the Bukhar. So everything, like we know, everything in halacha in general, we have to weigh both sides. It's true that we don't want to minimize the performance of mitzvah, but nonetheless, hachi adav tfei, this is better. In order that one should not come to michshol, come to a transgression by shearing it or working it. In other words, practically speaking, if you're going to have an animal that you can't touch and can't work around, a person might make a mistake. So therefore, it's better that we should alleviate the whole problem and not come to do the aveira, as opposed to trying to have the kedusha and trying to be careful with it when we see that people, it's difficult for people to really do that. Now, what would it be enough just to sell the fetus? So it says no. Kivan le mahani, kivan havi davar shlei bala oilam, because it's known as a davar shlei bala oilam. Now, a davar shlei bala oilam is an important concept in chayish and mishpat, in the laws of transactions, and that is that, generally speaking, something that's not in this world, one cannot buy and sell, generally speaking. So therefore, an Uber, even though it is technically in this world, but it's not here, it's not in front of us, you can't really feel it and see it and sort of really accept the ownership of, so therefore it doesn't help. So therefore, if one would sell the non-Jew the fetus, that would not necessarily be valid. So what you need to do is you need to sell the mother, which is here and tangible. So that's what needs to be done. Now, there's another whole issue over here, and this is discussed a lot by the Paiskim when it comes to selling the chametz, which is that there are certain forms of acquisition that help midarais, that help on a Torah level, and certain things are only rabbinic. And we need this thing to work on a Torah level, because otherwise we're going to be stuck with this kedusha, this holiness, and have all these issues. Now, there is a much discussion about what type of ways of acquisition work from a Jew to Jew, what work from a Jew to a non-Jew. And that's what the Kitzur is going to address. What is the best way for one to acquire, to sell the mother to a non-Jew? So it says like this. This is how it should be. Yishtavim anachi al mechir ha-parah. You make up the price. V'gam yaskuleis ha-makam asher ha-parah medesham. But you should rent to him the place where the cow is, and the way that works is there's a kinyan called a kinyan agav, or perhaps a kinyan chatzer, that basically, when if you want to sell someone something, if they own the land underneath it, that land can acquire for them. That's a common practice that Rabbanim do when they sell the chametz, which is they sell the non-Jew, and it's how are you able to sell the chametz all over the world to this non-Jew who's sitting with this rav in the shul? So the answer is that he has the permission to rent out the place where the chametz is, and by doing that, then the non-Jew is able to acquire the chametz in that place. So here also, you're selling or renting out to the non-Jew where this animal is, and by doing that, it becomes his. He's renting it out. So now the non-Jew gives him this coin. And the Jewish person says to the non-Jew, "Bezua pruta, with this money that you're giving me, tiknes hamakom asher aporim edus shama, that you're acquiring the place where the animal is standing. And then once you have that place, then that place will be able to acquire for you the animal itself. Oh yes, the cane. Another option, which would be for the non-Jew to actually lead the animal, and obviously then he has to be on site. Once they made up the price, then he gives him a little money. Now he has to lead it, but it can't be in the Jewish person's property, because the whole idea of leading it is to show that you're the ownership, and if you're still in the other person's property, it doesn't become yours. So he should need to either bring it into the Rishusoi, to his possession, to his domain, or the simta, at least to a place that's no specific ownership. The kind of isai b'mashicha b'mais, and then by bringing it, he acquires it with both money and bringing, leading. This will also be good. Vafili machzir achar kach l'rishus Yisrael. And then even if he brings it back to the Jewish person's place, it will be enough. Now, there's a lot of interesting discussions about transactions over here. One of the discussions is using a transaction that is not a Torah transaction, but is accepted among, you know, the business norms of the time. Is that enough? There's a big discussion about it. The Knesset Yecheskel and others discuss this issue. Some contend that it's not good, but Aruch HaShulchan and many others contend that it is good, because that's the accepted custom, and that becomes a viable kinyan. There's also another discussion about, is Hefker enough? Does it help to just make it Hefker? It's nobody's. That's also seemingly not so simple, whether or not it could work, or maybe can't work. And this basically concludes these laws of Bechar. And it's an important thing to keep in mind, because if a Jewish person does own an animal, a goat or something like that, then they need to take care of it properly before it has any offspring. Otherwise, they could have a serious issue of Bechar.